Welcome to Grounded Wellness. I'm your host, Bethany McDaniel, founder of Primally Pure, mom of three, and biohacking enthusiast. We created this podcast to bring you practical advice to live a more vibrant and intentional life rooted in long-lasting health. We record right here on our regenerative farm, grounded with our feet in the soil. Exploring bold truths, overlooked wisdom, and holistic tools that support true well-being. These conversations will challenge everything you know about health and wellness. Today, I am so excited to welcome Emily Dietrich, an integrative nutrition health coach who has helped thousands of women balance their hormones naturally. After years of struggling with the side effects of synthetic birth control and hormone imbalances, Emily has made it her mission to help women break free of painful periods and live in tune with their cycles. In this episode, we are diving into the most common hormone myths, what your body really needs in each phase of your cycle, and simple ways to feel more energized, aligned, and in sync. Let's dig in. Emily, thank you so much for coming out to the farm. I feel like I already know you because I've been following you for so long and have listened to you on several other podcasts, but it's so nice to finally meet you in person. For anyone who isn't familiar with your work, can you give a little breakdown of who you are and what you do?
Yes. Okay. So I'm so excited to be here. First of all, this is gorgeous. This is the coolest podcast that I've ever been on. So a little bit about me. I have been in the hormone balancing space for 6 years now, and I got into it because my own hormones were a mess. So I spent 10 years on hormonal birth control. I got on when I was 15 for no reason, really. I think my sister was getting on it. Maybe she had acne, something. And so they just put me on it too.
Literally the same story as
yeah,
me.
Yeah. It was just like, I don't even know why.
Probably 15 or 16, staying on it about 10 years.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you stay on it, and it was fine at first. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't have any issues with it. And then about 8 years in, I started experiencing just weight gain all of a sudden. Like, there were so many things. I also was vegan for a little bit. There was a lot of factors that went into it. But all of a sudden, it felt like my body was fighting back against me. And I went to the doctor, and they were like, everything you're experiencing is normal.
Of course.
And I was like, it's not. I can tell you I don't feel normal. And so after going to a couple doctors, and I had gut problems at the time too, I just was like, okay, I got to get off this. So I got off hormonal birth control, and I just did it myself. My doctor was like, we'll see you back when you're pregnant. And I was like, I still haven't gone back. And she just was like, you don't know how to track. Like, basically treated me like I didn't know what I was doing, that I didn't know my own body, that she knew better than me. And that just grossed me out. And I was like, I got to get out of here. So I took matters in my own hands. I basically was my own guinea pig at the time. Like, not much. This was almost 6 years ago. No one was really talking about gut health or like gluten issues or anything like that. And so I kind of had to do it myself and went gluten-free, went dairy-free, did a bunch of things, balanced my own hormones.
So and you then, weren't even seeing a practitioner. You were just figuring it out and trying things on your own.
I just went for it. I just went for it because I figured, and this is what I tell clients now too, is yes, hormone tests are important, but if you're just starting out, it's going to tell you what you already know. If you feel like your cortisol is messed up and all this, it probably is. And so there's so many foundational things you can do before you spend a bunch of money on testing to get things honed in a little bit and to work on the foundations and then move into testing after that.
I totally agree with that. Yeah. There are basic things that every single person can do that will improve their health and their hormones. And yes, like, it's great to get more specific and specialized down the road if you need to, but I completely agree about the foundational stuff, and I want to get into more of that later too.
Yeah, people just want to go straight into testing, and I get it, because you want answers.
Yeah.
Or you want a diagnosis, you want a starting point, but there really are like simple, cheap, free ways that you can do all of this. So yeah, then after going through all of that, I made it my mission because I didn't feel like anyone was there to help me. Like, my traditional Western medicine doctor wasn't there to help me. And it felt like even on the internet, I wasn't seeing much about like balancing hormones. So I made it my mission. I was like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to help women. I was already a health coach at that point. And so that's kind of where my Instagram went. I grew my Instagram, and here I am.
What did you experience in your own health? Like, how did your health transform? What differences did you see once you started
balancing out your hormones on your own?
So I think it started with a round of antibiotics that then like messed up my gut, that then did this whole domino effect with my entire body, which I was also vegan for a year. So there's a lot of these things.
Wow, that's a long time to be vegan.
It was a really long time.
I was
and it started getting messed up at 6 months.
Wow. And yeah, after a year of being vegetarian, I was like, this isn't working.
Yeah.
But yeah, vegan, that's even.
It was real. I made a whole YouTube channel. I said vegan recipes. Oh, here's why veganism is so amazing. And I guess I had to go through it because I don't know if I would be here sharing the same story if I hadn't gone through it and realized what really didn't work and what was not optimal for, I would argue, everyone, but definitely a majority of people. So I was gaining weight out of nowhere. I was eating healthy. Like, I wasn't eating junk food. I was still gluten-free at the time. Eating healthy, working out, gaining weight. My periods went from being kind of easy to really painful, and then they were gone completely. What else? My libido was negative. Like, I felt so trapped in my body. I had hormonal acne. I felt crazy. Like, my mood swings were crazy. I would cry all the time. It was so bad. And so that's when I went to my doctor and was like, this isn't right. I tried 3 different birth controls in 1 year because I just thought, like, Goldilocks. I don't know. Maybe it's this one. Maybe this one.
Yeah.
No, none of them were right. And so I finally got off it. And it took a couple years because I didn't really know what I was doing. So it took a few years, probably 2, to fully balance out and to get my body back after being vegan and all of that. But it was a journey. And so now I have clients where it really only takes, I mean, you feel better pretty instantly within a month, but then after 4 to 6 months, you're having probably regular periods, pain-free periods. It doesn't take a long time. And it's, again, not all consuming. Like, you don't have to do everything perfect to see results.
Totally. And I think that's the awesome thing about this is that there's so much hope. Like, yes, we could paint a really sad picture about, like, the pill and what it does, but then there is so much hope to recover from all of that.
Yeah.
You also recently got married.
Yes.
How has your experience with fertility awareness and hormone stuff impacted your future journey into motherhood?
I've always wanted to be a mom. Like, ever since I was little, I wanted to be a mom. And I'm just so excited. And I think, so in terms of even going back to being on birth control, and I say this to, like, my friends who have daughters that I can't wait for them to teach them about their actual body. I think young girls aren't really taught, like, the miracle of getting pregnant and growing a child, and, like, truly the miracle of, like, what a menstrual cycle is, which sounds crazy to say and kind of silly, but it is. Mm-hmm. And I just think if I had known all of this sooner, I probably would have treated my body better from the beginning. Mm-hmm. If I understood what it was capable of. And so I think balancing my hormones, learning so much about fertility and how the female body works, it's so incredible. And it still blows my mind. Like, we don't have kids yet. I'm not pregnant yet, but I can't wait. Like, I can't wait to be pregnant and to, like, create a human and to give birth and to experience all of those things connected to my body. Because I think being on birth control, I was so disconnected. Like, it was like, that's over here and I'm over here. And I didn't see it holistically.
Yeah.
So now it's just like, it's beautiful. And I just can't wait to experience all of it, the good and the bad and everything that comes with it.
For sure. I think you develop a reverence for your body and what it's capable of and just all of the processes that we go through as women when you have that understanding and connection. I've heard you say that PMS is optional, which may sound crazy to some people, but can you explain what you mean by that?
Yeah. So PMS, like, we get told, oh, it's just part of being a woman. Like, welcome to womanhood. Like, this is it. This is the rest of your life. Basically, it's going to suck. This is just part of it. And that's not true. Like, it's not normal. It's common. And people normalize common things. So if everyone you know is experiencing it, it still doesn't make it normal. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's this idea of everyone complaining. I mean, the endless memes on the internet about, like, being on your period and feeling, and yes, should you take it easier on your period? Of course. But, like, this whole idea that women should get a full week off. I mean, you shouldn't need a full week off. It shouldn't be like that. You shouldn't be calling out of school. You shouldn't be staying home from work. You shouldn't be canceling plans. Like, none of that's normal. And I think no one's given hope. No one's given, like, hey, this, you don't have to live like this. And so so many women are, once they have a pain-free period or whatever, I say pain-free, relatively pain-free, there is some discomfort, which is normal. You don't want to feel nothing. Your body is doing things. And I think, again, now you develop a reverence and a respect for it instead of thinking your body's working against you.
Yeah. So yeah, I feel like PMS. It's the difference of, like, when I was in high school, I would get nauseous. I would sometimes throw up from my period. I would have to leave school. And now yes, it's not completely pain-free. There's some cramping, but it's not debilitating. Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't affect your day-to-day life.
Yeah.
That's how I say it. Like, you should know what's happening, but it shouldn't affect your day-to-day life.
Yeah.
And PMS symptoms are signs of, like, hormone imbalances. So, like, having cramps or heavy periods or tender breasts, all of that is, like, high estrogen, which you can detox naturally. So there's all of these things, and I try to think of them as, like, little smoke signals, like, little signs from your body to listen. The symptoms are just invitations to listen to your body. And I think we're just in, so many people, and I was for a long time, in the business of ignoring it and just kind of dampering it down, quieting it, taking ibuprofen, Midol, whatever it may be, and just moving on with my day. Mm-hmm. And now I don't have to do any of that.
Yeah, we say the same thing about the skin. Like acne, like these things that show up on the skin, it's trying to tell us something about what's going on internally. Yeah. And rather than masking it, let's, like, listen and figure it out. You have helped 20,000 women balance their hormones naturally, which is insane. What's the most common misconception that people come to you with?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Gosh, just about hormones? Probably about, if we're talking just like periods and hormones in general, it's the idea that you can get pregnant every day of the month.
Mm.
That's the craziest one. Like, I have women in their 30s that are like, I didn't know this. And I'm like, that's crazy. That says something about, like, the education in our country, first of all, because it's mostly women from the U.S. But
we're just like moms, like, talking to their daughters about these things.
Yeah, I never got, and I love my love you, Mom. I never got that whole talk.
Yeah.
They gave you, like, a book or whatever.
Right.
And then you move on.
Right.
And so it's no one's fault. It's just, they were told, and we have a chance to break the cycle, which is why I'm so excited to, like, have a daughter. Hopefully, God willing, maybe I'll end up with all boys and I'll tell them about it. I don't know. But
such an important thing for parents to talk about with kids, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's natural. It's a normal thing.
It shouldn't be taboo.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Because then you grow up and you have people, you know, girls whispering to each other, do you have a tampon?
Yeah.
I'm like, what? It's fine.
It's fine.
Don't yell it, but it shouldn't be something we hide.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. Another misconception. I mean, other ones that you probably get too, like skin and dairy, that, like, dairy's the enemy and dairy's bad for you. And some dairy is inflammatory, but it depends on your gut health and it depends on how it was raised and it depends on the quality. So there's so many things that we get told, or like red meat's bad for you, but it's actually so good for your hormones. I probably low fat. That low fat is good. That's probably the worst one.
Do people still think that?
Yeah. No, they do. Really? I get messages all the time of, like, are you worried about your cholesterol? I'm like, you know, you need cholesterol to make hormones. If you don't have cholesterol, you literally can't make progesterone. You can't make anything.
Yeah.
So that's the crazy one.
For your brain. It's so important. For everything. Yeah.
For everything. To synthesize vitamin D, you need cholesterol. So it's just, that's probably the craziest one. And I'm so grateful I wasn't. My grandpa was, like, my mom's dad, super health conscious. Like, had a juice shop 40 years ago. Didn't believe in, like, the eggs have high cholesterol, don't eat them. Didn't believe in low fat. So
I love that.
I'm so grateful.
Ignore all that propaganda.
Ignore all of it. He was doing coffee enemas 40 years ago.
No
coffee
way.
Enemas. Yeah.
Wow.
So he was an OG. So I think that's where I get a lot of this from, the crunchier stuff. Like, growing up, my mom, like, one of the favorite things she would make us was strawberries, bananas, raw honey, and then, like, goat milk or fresh cream.
Wow.
That was, like, my favorite thing.
That's incredible. We touched on this a little while ago, but I want to hear some of your favorite habits that every woman can start doing on a daily basis to improve their hormonal health.
It's my favorite. So I love sharing tips and tricks. I share so much on my Instagram. It's like, a lot of people are like, you share so much. What could your course be about? I'm like, trust me, like, people have changed their lives with just my Instagram stuff, because a lot of people gatekeep on Instagram and on social media in general. And I just, again, when I was going through all this, I wish I had had all these little tips that aren't $500 worth of supplements and, like, crazy biohacking stuff. So I would say my biggest tip would be to have breakfast, a higher protein breakfast, like 20 to 30 grams ideally, within 1 hour of waking up, before coffee. So no coffee on an empty stomach and no like waiting to eat lunch or waiting to eat, skipping breakfast completely. It's just going to trigger cortisol. And so many women that fast constantly, there's a time and a place to fast during your cycle and all of that. But the women that are like, I have so much energy. I feel so clear. I'm like, that's cortisol. Like that's time. Adrenaline. Like that's what you're running on. And I fasted for a long time. That was part of that whole journey. And I felt the same way until again, all of a sudden my thyroid was messed up. I was gaining weight, like everything. I was fatigued. My cortisol was dysregulated. And then I realized like, oh, I need food. Like our bodies need to run on food. We can't just fast all the time.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. I do appreciate fasting and I think there is a place for it. And I've experienced benefits from it, but now I time it with my cycle.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think doing it too much is not a good thing.
Yeah. And it's just, I like circadian fasting. So like eating with the sun.
Yeah.
So having breakfast, like when the sun is coming up and then having your last meal before the sun goes down.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense to me. Okay. And then one more tip that I have is probably about lymphatic drainage. This is something I didn't take seriously at first on during my hormone balancing journey. I just had other things to worry about in the meantime. But then once I incorporated it, I noticed not only did I feel less puffy and inflamed, but I just felt better. And so I'll do like a facial lymphatic drainage first thing in the morning, right when I wake up. I just like open up all the drainage pathways. You just like do a little couple pumps in like where your lymph nodes are.
Yeah.
And that helps so much. And then I'll either like just jump, or if you have a rebounder, you can do that, but you can just jump or get a $5 jump rope. Do it for like 10 minutes. It's going to just move so much lymph. And the thing, like our heart pumps blood, but our lymphatic system needs like manual stimulation to move. The lymphatic system gets toxins out basically. Mm-hmm. And it needs a little help. So I noticed that that helped so much, just again, with my skin, with everything, just when toxins are able to circulate and get out of the body, it makes such a difference. So that's another like little hack that's not really food related.
Yeah. And it's free. And like you said, there's so many different ways you can do that, whether it's the manual stuff. Like I find myself just like I get lymphatic drainage massages and, you know, gua sha and all that, like I go somewhere to have that. But then I just find myself wanting to like move my skin, my lymph, because I just, once you like experience how good it feels, you just kind of crave it.
And
so I'm always like, after I like take a sports bra off, I like move
you
everything.
You kind of move around. And,
just
and
like
it's so good.
Get things flowing. And then the jumping. Yeah.
The jumping. And it's fun.
It is.
It's just fun. It just kind of gets your energy
fun,
up.
Easy. Becomes addicting.
I don't even
like think about it anymore. It's just a part of.
I dunk my face in a bowl of ice water every morning.
Love.
And now I'm addicted.
Yeah.
My mom's like, how do you do it? I'm like, I crave it now. Like,
good.
I love it. It feels so good.
Yeah.
So that's another thing, which can, it supports your nervous system too. It stimulates like the vagus nerve, which nervous system is super important for hormones too. Cause that's like, you can be doing everything right. But if your nervous system is dysregulated and it's lighting up and you're in fight or flight, it really doesn't matter how much protein you're eating. That helps, but you really got to get your body feeling safe. That's kind of what everything comes down to with hormones is we're women especially are really on high alert for danger at all times. So men have like a single focus. They're looking for they're hunting. Women have a diffused awareness and we're always scanning for danger, always scanning in the world we live in now. There's so much going on all around us at any given time. And so I think our nervous system can get triggered a lot. And we get so used to it that we don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
I think I was living in fight or flight for a long time and just thought it was normal. And so many women come to me saying the same thing. They're like, something happened, my period's later, this and that. Do you know what it could be? I'm like, well, what's your day-to-day life like? And they're like, well, I'm trying to plan a wedding and I'm still in grad school and I'm this and I'm trying to get pregnant soon. I'm like, right there. And they're like, well, I don't feel stressed. I'm like, reading that makes me stressed.
Yeah.
So it's like, they're just so used to it also, doing a million things at one time.
And I've heard you talk about this too, but like, I feel like for me in regulating my nervous system, going outside in the morning and just getting morning sunlight, grounding has been a game changer. Like starting my day out that way versus picking up my phone and being exposed to artificial light and drinking coffee before eating anything and all these things that just put us in this state of stress.
And you don't realize it like until you start doing it, until you take an hour off your phone. Like you wake up, keep your phone in another room even, get like an old school alarm clock, or just let your body wake up if you have the ability to do that. And getting outside, getting morning sun, just sitting there for a minute, maybe doing your lymphatic drainage there, like you can kill a lot of birds with one stone.
You can.
It makes such a difference.
My neighbors probably think I'm so weird because I go outside and our backyard, we have like the house we're living in now. There's like a pond back there. And okay. So there's other houses that can like see our back patio. But I literally go outside in the morning and I just like lay down on the cement. I'm just like laying there.
You're charging.
People probably think I'm like dead. But yeah, I literally feel like I'm charging my battery from the ground because you can ground on cement. And then the sunlight and like listening to the birds, it's like the best way to start my day.
And when you think about it, like, that's how we should be.
Yeah.
Like, we're not, we haven't evolved, but our environment around us has evolved so quickly and we have not caught up yet. And so I think the more we can get back to nature and basics and grounding and not being on our phones first thing, and it's triggering your fight or flight 100%. Yeah. I've noticed the more I'm off my phone in the morning, time feels slower. Mm-hmm. I feel calmer. Like, I truly do. If I'm on my phone first thing, if I have to be for work, for the rest of the day, I'm like, my brain is pinballing between things. I can't focus. There's just so much noise. And so, yeah, staying off your phone in the morning is so good. And just getting outside 5 minutes, 10 minutes, like whatever you can get is better than nothing.
Start small.
Yeah.
And then you'll naturally like want more and more.
Yes.
Yeah.
The more time I spend outside, I truly, it's a vitamin. Same. It's a vitamin.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I want to transition to the pill. Oh, okay. And I have an alarming stat here. A 2007 review by the Internal Agency for Research on Cancer found that women who use oral contraceptives for 10 or more years double their risk of cervical cancer. What are your thoughts on that?
It's sad. It's really sad because they'll tell you that it prevents cervical cancer. It at first, because it can help reduce inflammation. If you have endometriosis, right, which can cause you to grow scar tissue and cause a bunch of issues. Yeah, it can help in the meantime, but you're just shutting down your hormones. So you're introducing a constant stream of fake estrogen, basically. And that's going to catch up with you. So cancer rates, I mean, rates of anxiety and depression. I think there was a Danish study done on over 1 million women, and they found that they're 23 to 80% more likely to experience symptoms of depression. Teen girls on the pill are 20 times more likely, something like that, to be diagnosed with depression and to be on anti-anxiety meds. There's just so many staggering statistics that it's crazy to me that young girls who's bodies and brains and bones are still developing are being put on something that literally, like, is killing young girls.
Without being educated fully on those.
Just handed it.
Yeah.
And it's like, it should have a black box warning. Like, these poor girls and their families who are fighting for them because it increases your rate of blood clots. So you can get a blood clot. It can go to your brain. And there's girls that have died. And so there's a really good documentary, The Business of Birth Control, which is done by the same people as The Business of Being Born.
Yeah, I saw that
it's
one.
It's so good. It makes you feel like, I went through all the emotions watching it. Like, you'll feel angry and sad and just like befuddled that the fact that this is still given to girls, young girls, women, without being given like proper informed consent, which is the saddest part.
Yeah. How does it impact your ability to conceive later on?
So it can do a multitude of things. And I feel like we don't even really know all of them because of the downstream effects that it has on gut health and on triggering autoimmune conditions when you get off. Like, you can get autoimmune PCOS when you get off of birth control. All of these things can be triggered. One, if you don't get off birth control the right way, kind of if you're not helping your body, supplementing correctly, detoxing correctly, you can experience something called post-birth control syndrome, where if you had hormone imbalances before getting on, they come back tenfold. They come back like kind of angrier because all you did was mask them. And so many girls, I'll get comments, it regulated my period. No, it didn't. Birth control doesn't regulate anything. It's shutting down your natural cycle. It's just putting it to sleep.
And I've heard you say it's actually a fake bleed.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a withdrawal bleed.
So what does that mean exactly?
So like when you have 3 weeks of taking the pill and then 1 week of the sugar pills, really that bleed is just a withdrawal symptom of not taking the fake hormones.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're not ovulating. So if you're not ovulating, you're not getting a real period.
Gosh, that is wild to think that like I didn't ovulate for 10 years.
Yeah.
And I was put on the pill for acne
and
it worked. But then when I went off of it, the acne was worse than ever. And by then I knew a thing or two about diet and lifestyle and was able to like bring things into balance. But for people that don't, I mean, that's so sad. Like you're just left with this mess. and that you were never told was going to happen.
Yeah.
And you just have to figure it out.
I never had acne until I got off birth control.
Wow.
And then it was so bad. And I think even worse that I had never experienced it, thinking I was like, oh, look at me. I'm lucky. I'm God's favorite. I don't have acne. Yeah. Then I got off birth control and it hit me like a ton of bricks. And it was so bad. It was so like cystic and painful. And I was so insecure. I tell this story. I don't like driving. I make my husband drive everywhere. Passenger princess, same. Proper yep. Passenger princess. Mm-hmm. And when I had hormonal acne, it was mainly on this side. And so I would drive so that he couldn't see it.
Oh my gosh.
I was that insecure about it that yeah. I like didn't want to leave the house.
No, and I hear you.
It's so isolating. Mm-hmm. And so I understand why women get on birth control if they feel like they have no other option. But truly, like there are some out there good Western med doctors. But for the most part, like if you're going to go to an OB, it's going to be a traditional one. And they're just going to tell you birth control is the option.
Yeah, the pill is handed out like candy. But most people don't realize it's classified as a group 1 carcinogen.
Yeah. It's insane. I just, again, like, why is no one talking about this? We get, in the media now, like, we're getting vilified for wanting to help women work on their fertility. And I don't get it.
For women who are terrified to go off of the pill because they don't know what's going to happen with their hormones, or maybe they're afraid of getting pregnant, mm-hmm. What would you say to them?
I felt that way. It took me 6 months of being miserable on the pill until I did so much research. I was looking up the fertility awareness method. Like, is this legit? A year prior, I had had a friend tell me that she was doing that. And I was like, that's sketchy. Like, you're going to get pregnant. I was like that person. And I was like, how could that possibly work? Which the crazy thing is, hormonal birth control for the most part is only 91% effective. So that means 9 out of every 100 women that take birth control will get pregnant on it. So that's not that effective. That's almost 1 in 10 that will get pregnant on birth control.
Not very good odds.
No. And so I was just so miserable that anything was better than being on it. Like, I was so, at that point, pretty depressed. Like, I just didn't feel like myself. And so I was like, anything's better than this. I got to get off. I honestly didn't feel like I had the option to stay on it. But to those girls, I understand feeling scared. Because I was the same way, but we're not taught. So the more you learn, the more you educate yourself, the more you learn about your cycle, the more you learn how effective things like the fertility awareness method, like the symptothermal, where you're tracking cervical fluid, you're tracking your temperature. It's so accurate. This has been around for so long. It's highly accurate. I've been doing it for 5 years. I've never had one scare or one issue or anything.
Okay, can you explain more about it? Like,
yeah.
What all do you do
yeah.
to track your cycle?
So there are apps out there, but I recommend all women learn hand charting. Like, just do it by hand first so you understand what goes into it and you feel more connected to your body. And I feel like I felt more empowered and more confident in the method that because I knew how to do it.
Yeah.
So you track your temperature every morning. You take your temperature with a special thermometer called a basal body thermometer, which goes to it goes to 2 decimal points.
Okay.
So it's way more accurate. And the reason why this method works is because right before you ovulate, your temperature will dip slightly. And this is all due to hormone fluctuations. It'll dip slightly and then it'll spike. And when I say spike, we're talking half a degree.
Yeah.
Just slightly. And then it'll stay elevated until you get your period.
Okay.
So you can, as time goes by and you're tracking this, you can see it. And then
what happens when you get your period?
Then when you get your period, it drops down.
Okay.
It drops back down to a baseline temp, which should be like above 97 degrees. Like 97.5 is a good starting point. If you're low 97s or under that, probably some thyroid metabolism issue going on. But yeah, the longer you track it, you start to see these fluctuations. And what's really cool is you can track, like, through apps or just hand charting, you can also track your symptoms and you start to see how cyclical everything is. You're like, oh, especially as an entrepreneur, I'm like, oh, every day on day 26 of my cycle, I want to burn my business to the ground. So like there's certain things or every day or every time around this time, I'm super irritated and I need to like take a step back and see the bigger picture.
Yes.
My husband's doing something or if your kids or whatever, you start to learn the reasons behind why you feel the way you feel. And I think you're able to give yourself more grace. So yeah, with the fertility awareness method, you're tracking your temperature. in your cervical fluid over the course of the month. And through those patterns, you can figure out your fertile window, which is only 6 days. You can only get pregnant 6 days out of every cycle, not every day. That's another crazy thing that a lot of women, and I didn't know until I was like probably 22, 23.
Yeah.
So
I didn't know for a very long time.
Insane. That's really how our bodies work.
Are right before ovulation.
Yep.
Would you say like how many days before ovulation?
Five days.
And then 1 day following is the window in which you can get pregnant.
Yeah. So 5 days before, because sperm can live for up to 5 days, and then the day of ovulation. And that's it.
That's it.
So I have women that are like, I got pregnant outside of my fertile window. I was like, you can't.
Yeah.
So your fertile window is just different than
you
thought it was.
You're just ovulating when you think you are.
And so it's just so important. And I have a lot of women that come to me and they'll say this, and I don't know what's going on and my period's late. I'm like, well, do you know when you ovulate? Because there's no such thing as a late period. It's just late. It's delayed ovulation.
Yeah.
So if you can figure that out, it's a lot easier. And same with when it comes to getting pregnant. If you know your cycle and you know you ovulate on day, let's say 16, but you get your period on day 26. So you have a normal range cycle, but your luteal phase is 10 days, which is not really enough to sustain like implantation for a pregnancy. It would indicate that you have low progesterone. And so if you understand that, you can say, okay, then I'll boost progesterone naturally. Versus I have women that will go just see a doctor and the doctor will say you have fertility problems or you need IVF or this and that without even asking them if they understand their cycle or kind of what's going on.
So what you're saying is you can only get pregnant within that 6 day window. And outside of that, it's okay to have unprotected sex.
Yeah.
If you want to get pregnant.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It's literally those 6 days outside of your fertile window. It is physically impossible to get pregnant. That is the only time you're fertile. So any other time of the month outside of those 6 days, green light, you're good to go.
So whether you're someone who wants to have a child or you're trying to prevent pregnancy, regardless, this is something that is valuable. Or if you're not having sex and you just want to understand your body better, this is something that is so valuable for every woman to pay attention to.
And I can't wait to teach like my daughter, right? As she's getting her, teaching her about this. And then as she gets older, this is a method that follows you through life. So whether you're not having sex yet, you're maybe trying for a baby or trying to avoid pregnancy, the method works the same in all ways. And so it's you just kind of flip the way you use it.
Yeah.
So yeah.
What about other methods of contraception, the IUD? What are your thoughts on that?
No. Especially so a lot of women think the copper IUD is better. From what I've heard, I was never on it. It's worse symptom-wise. One, copper toxicity is an issue. You're putting something that's covered in heavy metals into your body. I've actually saw recently an article where they were talking about how that like metal coil uncoiled in the uterus.
No.
And it disintegrated. So it's just literal heavy metals absorbing into your body. It's a foreign device. The way that it works, the copper one, is just by irritating the lining of the uterus so nothing can stick. But it can do permanent damage. It can get dislodged. And what I've heard with that, so what we're learning is that the inflammation is not localized to the uterus. That inflammation spreads throughout the entire body. And so from what I've heard from women who are on the copper IUD and got on it because they thought it was better and non-hormonal, they experienced the worst side effects, the most debilitating cramps and things like that. So there's that. The hormonal IUD is releasing a constant stream of hormones. So that works two ways. One, by irritating. Second, by just releasing exogenous hormones constantly. With the copper IUD, also what I think no one really talks about is that you're still ovulating. So if you do like have unprotected sex, it is a possibility that something could get fertilized but never implant.
Wow.
And so your body just passes it.
Wow.
Which is really sad. And no, I know women weren't told that.
No.
So many women that were like, I never would have gone on it if I had learned that. So the hormonal IUD, the pill, the patch, it's all just fake hormones, essentially shutting your period off.
Hmm. Wow. Okay. I want to get into cycle syncing. I want to give every woman listening an understanding of what happens during each of the four phases that we go through every month and how to support our bodies in each phase.
Okay. This is my favorite. This is my like favorite little workshop to do. So cycle syncing, or I call it like going with your flow. Cycle syncing was coined, I think trademark copyrighted by Elisa Vitti, who wrote a book on it. I call it going with your flow. It's just living in tune with your cycle. So we have four phases. It's not like when I was younger, I just thought I was on my period or I wasn't on my period. And that was it. I didn't really know much. And I also thought my period was like the main event. And it's really not. It's like the byproduct. It's like kind of the part that doesn't really matter, which is fascinating. So you have four phases. You have your menstrual phase, which is the first phase. So day one of your period marks day one of your cycle. You'll move into follicular, which is like your inner spring. That's how I like, I'll describe them as seasons. So if menstrual is your winter, follicular is spring. Ovulation, which is the main event, it's what your body is preparing for all month long.
Best.
The best. I'm ovulating right now. I was like, good timing for the podcast.
Really good timing.
Yeah. So that's like your summer, your inner summer. And then luteal would be like the fall as leaves are changing, your hormones are changing before your period. So menstrual phase is the first phase. This typically lasts between 3 and 6 days. A healthy period would be like 3 full days to about 6 days. Anything 7 or longer, there's probably something going on. You know, women that have like 7, 8, 10 day cycles, not normal. But this is a time, again, if you think of what you would do in winter, you would hibernate. You would stay inside. You would eat warm, hearty, grounding foods like stews and slow-cooked foods. So that's what I like to think of. If you think about your period as winter, just do things you would do in the winter. Introspective. Write in your journal. Just take some time by yourself. Don't make plans. Don't book podcast interviews.
I had a news interview on my period. This was just like last week or like a week and a half ago. It took so much out of me. I feel like I still haven't fully recovered from just not being able to rest during that time.
It was so important.
Crazy.
And you'll realize.
And it was like a full day thing. Like they came out here to the farm, to the headquarters. It was like a big, big thing. And I was just like, I felt so depleted, like more than I would have.
Yeah. Normally. So I like to think of it also before I dive back in as like instead of, so women and men have different cycles, right? Men have like a circadian cycle, which is 24 hours. So like they get to wake up, they're like little robots every 24 hours, same thing. We have a 28 day cycle. So we have an infradian rhythm and we have to start seeing our like to-do list or our battery as a monthly battery instead of a daily battery, and everything gets so much easier. So if you think about it, if you spend the month charging your battery, living in tune with your cycle and resting on your period, everything's gonna be easier versus if you try to go against it, you're doing things on your period, you have nothing. You have nothing to go off of. So it's really like you're in the red and it does take longer to recover.
Yeah, it sets you back.
So I think it's so important to see it as like a monthly battery and monthly to-do lists instead of daily tasks. And it makes it so much easier. So your period is the inner winter. Again, hibernation. Like that's what I want you to think of. Warm, hearty foods, things like that. Then as you move into follicular, this is like your inner spring. So it's like the flowers are blooming, your energy's starting to come back after your period. This is when your body is essentially working on the little follicles that will then release an egg. So your hormones are starting to come up where on your period, all your hormones are flatlined essentially. This is why you feel unmotivated. You just want to Netflix and chill. You want to hang out at home. So everything's at its lowest. And so that's normal to not be full of energy on your period. Mm-hmm. But like I said, it shouldn't affect your day-to-day life. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't feel like I can't get off the couch.
Yeah.
It should just be honoring rest and listening to your body. So follicular, your energy is coming back. This is a time when you want to focus on healthy fats and fermented foods to support gut health, where your gut microbiome also changes over the course of the month. So this is a really good time to add in like kimchi or sauerkraut to your meals. Eat more eggs, eat more nut butter, eat more avocados, healthy fats to kind of help boost progesterone as you come up to ovulation. So follicular is that inner spring. Then as you move into ovulation, the main event, this is what your body's been preparing for all month long, getting ready to release an egg. So another important thing, even if we're not trying to get pregnant, our bodies always are. Like our female bodies, that's what the menstrual cycle is. It's always trying to get pregnant. It's always doing that. And regardless or not, if we care, right? So it's so important to support this process because truly your period is like the canary in the coal mine. It is your health report card that you get every single month and you can kind of tell what's going on by the length and how painful it is and all of that good stuff. So you're leading up to ovulation, which is your inner summer. This is when an egg is released. Ovulation is a one-day event, but I like to think of ovulation as a week. So especially if you're new to cycle syncing, I like to just say use a week for each one. So like treat your period as a week, treat follicular as a week, ovulation as you get into the hang of it versus kind of trying to do it all at one time.
And you do kind of feel that high of ovulation for a few days before, a few days after.
Yeah. That's what I've noticed is like you start, and once you pay attention to these things, you'll notice it. Mm-hmm. Like you'll notice your facial features actually change. Your skin looks better versus in your luteal phase.
You had a viral reel that got, I think like, what was it?
Over 20 million.
20 million views. Yeah. Talking about how your bone structure changes during ovulation. How does that work?
It's crazy. So like I said, our bodies are always trying to get pregnant. So it's during ovulation is when you're fertile, your skin is glowing. You have like, you might feel better. Like people are like, once I tell women, they're like, oh, now I notice it. Now I notice it every time. Now it's not just like, oh, I have ugly days. It's like, that's probably your luteal phase.
Yeah, before they probably just thought it's total random chance that like some days I look great, some days I don't love the reflection I'm seeing.
But or am I crazy? Am I crazy that I think I look, you know, uglier at this time and I feel hot at this time? You're not crazy. That's totally normal. And yeah, during your luteal phase, your skin is more dry. So your skincare can change through your cycle. Ovulation, it's already going to glow. And there's certain times where it's better to exfoliate or it's better to use like a retinol versus later in the cycle when your skin is more sensitive. So all of these things, it's just so fascinating.
So the skin's more sensitive in the luteal phase and menstrual phase maybe? Okay.
Yeah, it's way more sensitive. So you don't want to use any like harsh exfoliants or anything crazy. This would be time for like a mask, a like soothing, you know, soothing balm mask, things like that to really calm inflammation and rehydrate. So that's it. I just think it's all so crazy. But yeah, your bone structure shifts slightly to make you look more feminine and more attractive. It's just insane. Everything your body's doing is trying to get you pregnant, which I think is fascinating. Like I'm saying, I like to nerd out on this. Like I didn't, not that I never took my body seriously, but I didn't understand how cool it all is, that it all works together to do this.
It's miraculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's it truly is a miracle. And so, yeah, ovulation is the main event of your cycle. All hormones are peaking for the most part. So your libido is high. Your energy is high. This is the best time for outings, for podcast interviews, for date nights, for like if you have a job interview, this would be a great time. You're more magnetic. People are actually more drawn to you also. And the right and the left hemispheres of your brain actually are like more connected during that time. So you can speak your, like you can talk better and you have like your thoughts, you're more creative and you're, it's just, it's crazy. Versus we all know, like when you're on your period, you can't think. Like your brain doesn't work.
No,
your brain doesn't work. You fumble over words and it's, everything just feels harder.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it comes back to living in like with a monthly battery where you're really living with your hormones instead of kind of working against them or trying to do the same thing every day, fasting every day. It's just your body's going to reject that after a little bit. During ovulation, if you think of it as your inner summer, think about things that you would be eating during the summer. So like fresh, raw foods, salads, things like that. You actually might not have much as much of an appetite. I've noticed that too, that I want like lighter foods. So this is when I'll do like yogurts and berries and chia pudding. Sometimes you can hold more water weight and it can like kind of make you constipated during this time. So I just say more fiber, more like fruits and veggies and things like that. Seafood is really good during this time. And another fun thing is I find that I crave these foods naturally. Like whenever I'm ovulating, I notice, oh, all I want is seafood. All I want is oysters or salmon or fruit or things like that.
Interesting.
The
food is the one thing I haven't gotten there yet on. Like I pay attention to where I'm at in my cycle in terms of my schedule. I try to. Obviously didn't last much.
But life happens.
Yeah, sometimes things happen. And then with like workouts and things like that. Like, but the food, I can't quite... I haven't gotten there because it's like feeding the family and like planning. And sometimes it's so last minute. And, or I mean, my husband cooks a lot of the time. So it's like, maybe at some point, but I will say like, even if you pay attention to like a little bit, just implement a few of these things, they will help. Yeah. And I'm sure like if you do it all, it even is that much better.
It's even better, but don't stress out trying to do it all. That's the thing is like live in tune. And if you notice you're craving certain things, lean into that. But there are times.
Pay more attention to cravings.
Yeah.
Think more about that. Yeah.
And you don't, again, like simple things you can do, just seafood or just remember if you're ovulating, like, oh, I'll get some oysters or I'll do salmon or something like that, or adding in chia pudding or something to add on top of it. But an easy way is like, okay, during your follicular phase, which you can treat as the first half of your cycle, you know, you can kind of treat them as longer, more fermented foods. So just have it on hand. Have a little spoonful of sauerkraut. Or vitamin C rich foods is a really good time during your follicular phase. So I'll move into luteal now. So ovulation, one day event, but it lasts for about 6 days. You'll feel the effects. And then as you go into luteal, which is the longest phase. So luteal is like your inner fall, your inner autumn. It's the longest phase. It lasts about 10 to ideally 12 to 14 days is a healthy luteal phase. The first half, you're kind of still riding the ovulation high. Mm-hmm. You still have energy. You're still kind of riding that. And then as the second half starts to hit about the week before your period, that's when you'll notice a lull. Your energy starts to come down and you kind of have this natural proclivity to just retreating. Another fun thing, you're kind of in a nesting mode also. So this is the best phase to kind of finish your to-do list. I try to think of it also, if your period is coming, what tasks can you check off the list and what things can you kind of tie up? What loose ends can you tie up before you get your period and you're not going to want to do anything?
I feel like that is the only good thing about the end of the luteal phase, because otherwise I hate it.
No,
but I do feel like I want to organize, like I'm like organizing and getting rid of things in the house.
Yep.
And then yes, like checking things off the to-do list. So if you can like lean into that, that's like how I would think of like making the most of that time of the month.
Yeah. Is how can you set yourself up? Versus I feel like for a long time health, I was very reactive. We're reactive to like our period and our hormones and things like that. Versus cycle tracking and all of that, understanding it, going with your flow is more proactive. You're getting ahead of it and you're kind of preparing for the next phase so that when it gets there, you're ready.
Yeah.
Like luteal phase, you organized everything. Everything's good to go. Maybe you meal prepped. Maybe you set yourself up for your period and now you're fine. And so you're no longer like kind of treading water or trying to get ahead of it. You've are trying to like catch up to it. You're getting ahead of it.
What about workouts? How do we adjust our workouts at different times throughout the month?
This is a really good one. I used to be like a gym rat. Like I used to be obsessed with working out. No days off, like hardcore. And that was another thing that added into the whole perfect storm of my hormones. And once I learned about cycle syncing and just living in tune with my cycle, oh my gosh, it seriously changed my life, because you, again, you don't realize like how inflamed you're making yourself by going to like people that I know that go to Barry's boot camp like 3 or 4 times a week, which is such a high intensity thing, or Orange Theory, or these super high intensity workouts that you don't need to do all the time. You shouldn't be doing all the time.
Oh, there's like the 4 a.m. cruise at those places.
Yeah. Like, I don't understand it.
You're ruining your life.
Yeah. The lights are all dark. The music's so loud. I'm like, this is so intense. Like maybe once a month I can handle it. But so on your period, really take it easy. I'm not saying don't work out at all, but listen to your body. Rest. Definitely don't do anything high intensity. But some girls I know lift weights on their period and feel better. Definitely be walking. I like to do walking. It really helps move, especially if you have cramps. Like going on a long walk can really help, especially being in nature. All of those things, you're getting all the benefits.
I walk with a weighted vest normally.
That's so
like,
good.
That's my workout right now. I love it. I'm obsessed. And I think, yeah, I know eventually I want to start lifting weights again and doing other things, but right now it's working great for me. Mm-hmm. So I love it, but it doesn't feel good on my period. On it's like the first or second day.
Yeah.
It feels like too heavy.
It's
normal walk feels really good.
What weight do you use? I need to know.
20 now.
Yeah, okay.
I started lighter and then like just kept going up, and I feel like 20 is good.
I like 20. I have a 15 and a 25. And now I'm at the place where like 15 feels a little light, but the 25 kind of hurts my shoulders.
Yeah, that's the thing with the heavier weights. I started with 35 and I'm like,
that's
intense. I can't do this.
Yeah.
So but then no, I think 5 and I was like, this is way too light.
Yeah.
So
you have to
like
do both.
Yeah.
You have to figure it out.
But now maybe I need to try 25. If you're doing 25.
It's fun. I kind of slide it to the side. And now I figured that out. I'm like, I think I just need to get used to it.
Yeah.
But I think they call it rucking.
Yes.
Right? And it's rucking. Primal. Like it's so good for you. It's so good for your posture, for your spine, putting like I love it.
I know. I feel like I'm getting a strength training workout without like
your
lifting
core.
Weights.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's the best.
And you can start, you can do a couple push-ups with it. I mean, you could do so much.
I travel with it now because I love it so much. So I will like wear it, because you can't put it in your suitcase or in your carry-on. It's going to weigh it down.
Airport?
So I wear it in the airport and always gets flagged by security. I always get questions.
Oh my gosh.
But I don't know. It's like worth even the hassle of that for me. Because
no, I love that.
I love it so much.
No, it is addicting. And it just feels like a little better than a walk. And a walk feels great. And if you can add a little extra weight, that's
gives
awesome.
Gives it a boost. Yeah.
Someone walked past me. I was doing it the other day because I lived near a college. And like, what are you training for? And I was like, motherhood, like carrying a child. Yeah, seriously. So on your period, take it a little easy, listening to your body. If you feel like moving, go for it. But if you don't go against that like inner knowing. Mm-hmm. Follicular, this is a great time for circuit training. Your energy is coming back up. So weightlifting, you really can strength train because I think a lot of the gripe some women have with cycle syncing and tracking is, okay, well, I'm only allowed to do weightlifting like this 1 week of my period. How am I going to like build muscle? And it's like, you just have to listen to your body for the most part. Like that's what I go back to most often is you know your body best. And it takes a while to get back in tune with that because we are birth control. All these things disconnect us so much from our body. But I think like, you know when to push yourself, you know when to take it easy. But follicular, again, your energy is coming back. You're feeling more social. This is a great time for group workouts or circuit training, strength training. That's all great during follicular. Moving into ovulation, more strength training is great. You may feel like you give a ton of energy. And just a side note, if ovulation is when you feel the worst, that's a sign that there's something going on. So it's when all hormones are kind of peaking. So if you already have like too much estrogen or too much of other hormones, it's going to make you feel worse when you should feel your best. You should feel like you have the most energy. It's actually when you can get away. Like there's been times where I've only gotten like 6 hours of sleep during ovulation, but I feel great.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how do I look this good for 6 hours of sleep?
It happens to me sometimes too. I wonder, I haven't paid attention to like when that happens, but yeah, maybe it is.
It's usually versus luteal, I'll get 9 hours and I look like I slept two.
Yeah.
So that's a whole other thing. And that's also important that even I take care of my hormones, I balance them, I pay attention. I still go through these things. It's not like, oh, everything's fine all the time. No, I still experience the fluctuations. They're just not as drastic.
Yeah.
Crazy mood swings, crazy differences, crazy intense emotions. That's not normal. But you should notice the fluctuations, and that's part of the beauty of it.
Mm-hmm.
So ovulation, great time to add in some HIIT. So this would be a great time for high intensity classes, for doing sprints, for doing things like that. And then luteal, first half, you're going to want to kind of still ride that ovulation high. So listen to your body. Then the week before your period, you naturally have less energy. So listen to that. This is when you can kind of move into more like just Pilates, low impact, more walking, and then you kind of start it all over again. So you can still strength train and you can still work out throughout your period. It's just small adjustments because in the luteal phase, what I didn't mention when we were talking about all the phases is this is when your body is the most prone to stress. So your threshold for stress is way lower. And this is because during this time, your body would be nurturing a possible pregnancy. So it's on high alert for any dangers that's going to tell it, like, this is not a safe place for a baby. We'll try again next month. And so it's really important to lower stress during this time. Luteal phase, you want to pull back on caffeine. So like switch to matcha, switch to decaf or half caf. I like drinking half caf. I just mix regular and decaf beans. That's a great time. Really, if you drink alcohol, really pulling back during this time, that's going to put extra stress on your liver and just add more inflammation. So anywhere where we can pull out these little stress bricks, kind of lower that wall, it's going to be so helpful. And again, help maximize that monthly battery so that we're not draining it too quickly and then we're running on empty.
Probably not a good time for like cold plunges.
And not a good time for cold plunges.
Anything that the body can perceive as an extra stressor because the body will feel the effects of that stressor more intensely.
Yeah.
And then immune function goes down a bit too, right?
That's what I was going to say too is, so in follicular, that's why I was saying vitamin C rich foods and supporting your gut during that time. There's so many women that are like, I always get sick before my period. Your immune system is suppressed, again, so that your body doesn't reject a possible pregnancy. So everything your body's doing, it wants to get pregnant. So your nervous system is more like on high alert. Your immune system is suppressed. All of these things, which add so much stress on the body. And our bodies don't know the difference between stressors. Mm-hmm. We may not think it's stress. It may be exciting to us. It might be travel. But our body doesn't know that. And so really paying attention to these things. And again, if we are going to travel during our luteal phase, if we are going to do other things, then go, okay, so I'm really going to reduce sugar. I'm really going to reduce like staying up late. I'm going to try to get as much sleep as I can and just kind of overcompensating in other areas.
Yeah.
Because we don't live in a vacuum. You can't be perfect. You can't do all of these things all the time. And so like you're saying, picking one or two. Again, eating red meat before your period and on your period. you're losing blood. It's just kind of these like almost common sense things where it's like, oh yeah, of course. Of course I would do that.
Yeah. It just becomes intuitive. Like once you start, it just kind of feels natural and you'll naturally want to do these things.
And that's with everything. Yeah. Practice comes, the more you do it, the longer you do it. Because at first it is overwhelming. And I was like, how do I do all of this? Yeah. So I'm only going to eat chicken and eggs in my follicular phase. And it's like, no, it's not realistic, especially like you're saying with families and different taste buds and things like that. So just doing what you can, where you can.
Yeah. Talk to us about blood sugar. What role does our blood sugar play in our hormones?
A huge role. And I don't think this was something, again, I also didn't really pay attention to at first. I was like, oh, eat protein and this and that. But truly managing, balancing your blood sugar is so important because when blood sugar spikes and insulin spikes, cortisol spikes. And so we really want to avoid these huge dips and spikes as much as we can and balance it out. Eating protein, eating a lot of protein with your meals, that's one way. Healthy fats in there. Even simple things like changing how you eat. So instead of going, you have maybe sweet potatoes and steak and a salad. You can start with maybe some salad, which is some fiber and greens, have some steak, and then move into sweet potatoes, which have carbs. But now you've kind of dampened it with protein and veggies first, and it's really going to stave it off. So,
or raw carrots.
The raw carrot salad.
I become addicted to, I just like take a big carrot as I'm like working on dinner.
Bugs Bunny.
And just, yeah.
You Bugs Bunny it. Yeah.
And then my kids are like, I want one. And like everyone's just eating raw carrots. And it's like normal.
It's fun. Carrots are so good.
It's just like, it's kind of an activity too.
It is.
It takes a long time to eat it and chew it and everything.
And you want to leave the skin on. I get a lot of questions of like, oh, can I peel it? Can I do baby carrots? It's not, you really want the insoluble fiber that comes from the skin.
That's good.
That's kind of what helps to bind to and flush out those excess toxins and hormones and estrogen and things like that. So raw carrot, you can do a raw carrot salad. I do that too.
How do you make that?
So I do the ribbons. So I take like a peeler and I'll peel the carrot into ribbons. And then I just do a little bit of olive oil or coconut oil, whatever you want. A little bit of apple cider vinegar and then salt. Sometimes I do apple shavings in it too. Sometimes I do a little Dijon. You can really do like sesame oil, sesame seeds, like green onions and make it kind of an Asian style. You can do it, have it every day. And that's just one of those little like daily hacks to help. One, it's good for you. There's fiber, there's nutrients, there's vitamins and minerals, but then it's also helping flush out excess estrogen.
Yeah.
Which is so important. Our livers, there's, you know, your toxin bucket nowadays, it's so easy to get it filled up. And so the more we can help flush out and do all these things and, you know, castor oil, there's all these little things that we can do every day with the raw carrots.
I saw you post about castor oil. So that's one thing I haven't gotten into yet. I love castor oil like for skincare products and we have it in some of our products, but I've never done a castor oil pack, but I saw you post about just rubbing it on your belly.
Yeah.
You can just rub it in. Too.
Yeah. Okay. Or you can, now I bought, you can now buy castor oil patches like on Amazon.
Oh.
So it's like a little adhesive with a little pad that goes over your belly button.
Because I have the whole castor oil pack set up and I just like haven't
it's
done
a lot.
It.
And I've ruined so many sheets. I've ruined so many sheets and like,
I don't want to.
Because it kind of, it can leak.
I'm just going to buy the patch.
So I do that. Now what I do actually is like 3 sprays of the cycle soothing spray, the magnesium.
Yeah.
I'll do like 3 sprays and then a little bit of castor oil before I go to bed. Sleep like a baby.
Every night?
Like a baby, yeah.
Nice.
I just throw it on.
Okay.
Because castor oil packs, I was actually talking to an acupuncturist and she said every day can be really intense on your liver. And I was like, well, how about just a little bit in the belly button? She was like, yeah, that's fine.
In the belly button.
I do it in my belly button. Okay. And then I kind of rub it around.
Yeah. Okay.
But now with the patches, it makes it easy. It just kind of keeps it all in and it's not messy.
Yeah. So you do the cycle soothing spray.
You do
and
a couple sprays,
patch on.
And then I do a little like, drizzle the castor oil and then I lock it in.
And you do, even when you're not on your period, you do the cycle soothing.
Yeah.
Just because of the magnesium. That's just good.
I need to get the sleep one. Now I just need to get your sleep one and then I'll be good. But for now,
even
I'm just
the magnesium, I mean, it'll still do the same thing.
Yeah.
Still help
the lavender.
Sleep.
It smells so good. Yeah. And that way, like, because it is the salty magnesium stuff. So it just kind of keeps it locked in and doesn't get anywhere. But I love that.
Okay. I'm going to try that.
So yeah, that's an easy way. Mess-free.
And then for blood sugar, I've seen you talk about apple cider vinegar mixed with water before meals.
That's a good hack.
I love that one. And then moving after eating.
Yeah.
Just like a 10-minute walk. Or I will often do air squats after meals.
Yes.
And people think I'm so weird. And I'm like,
weird
for not doing it.
Half raises? Half raises are actually the fastest way to lower blood sugar.
No way.
Yeah.
How many do you do?
I have a friend who did it after she did like her glucose test. She just stood there doing calf raises before the thing, and she was it was perfect. Yeah. Crazy. So you can just like do it for like a couple minutes. It's intense.
I've had enough of them over the years, and I would like cramp if I started thinking.
No, they do hurt. But after a while. But yeah, so calf raises, 5 minute, even a 5 minute walk can reduce a glucose spike by like 20 to 30%.
Wow.
Which is, again, any way we can just reduce a little bit, because some people, the goal is never to not raise your blood sugar at all. That's normal. It's going to happen. Even a sauna will spike a blood sugar. So stress. But another one, this is a crazy one. I was wearing a CGM. This was probably a year ago, at least now. And it's just a fun thing to do to kind of like get some data points. I was testing a couple things. And that night I'd had dinner at like 5 p.m. I'm a big early dinner person. Mm-hmm. I love a 5 p.m. dinner.
Same.
When we have friends that are like, so like a dinner at 7:30, Daniel looks at me like, and I'm like, absolutely not.
I can't work.
7:30? No. I'm makeup off. I'm in bed by that time.
Yeah. You're going to bed with a full stomach.
It
doesn't feel good. It impacts your sleep.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. So I like an early dinner. And then that night we got on a walk and everything. And then it was about 9 p.m. I was in bed scrolling on my phone. That the next morning, or I think that night I checked it. I tapped it to sync it before I went to bed. Blood sugar spike.
Oh,
from scrolling my phone, from the stress.
Wow.
So all of these things that, again, I didn't feel like, I feel like it was funny memes and reels. Like, it wasn't anything intense. I remember thinking, wow.
Were you wearing amber, like, glasses or anything?
Yes. I was wearing blue light glasses.
Still wearing
those. I was wearing blue light glasses.
Wow.
So that's the crazy thing.
I mean, maybe it's like the EMFs and just the...
Oh, 100%.
The dopamine. I don't know.
It's probably the dopamine.
Yeah.
It's probably whatever you're, again, perceiving that we're not even aware of.
Yeah.
All of this stuff that's going on, like, just in our, like, monkey brain, you know, that we're not aware of. And it all impacts it. And so it does feel like sometimes I'll get DMs like, how do you live knowing all of this stuff? I'm like, well, you don't have to do it all.
Yeah.
You don't have to do it all. You do a couple things. But, like, we live in a modern world. You can't, not everyone can live. Like, one day the goal is to live on a farm like this. But we can't all do it right now. And so, yeah, right now I live in an apartment. And so there are EMFs. There's people next to me across. So I unplug my Wi-Fi, but they don't. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I do what I can, but I live in the real world.
Right.
And so I let it go. I let it go. As we're like getting closer to trying for kids, like probably in the next couple months, I had for a long time, this like, I got to get this test and this gut test and this hormone test. And I have to like do all these things. And I was like, maybe I don't. Mm-hmm. Maybe I don't need all that. Like, of course, a blood test to see where I'm at. But I've kind of let go of this, like, everything needs to be perfect. I need to see everything. Like, all the numbers need to be great. And I've just let go of that, like, control. Because that's more unhealthy. Like, that cortisol is more unhealthy than the EMFs from my neighbor's Wi-Fi.
100%.
100%. So, yeah.
I want to talk about period products before we
yes.
go. What's your take? What do you like? What do you not like?
This has changed over the years. I will say I've never used a menstrual cup or a disc. That I just couldn't get on board with that.
I tried the cup one time.
The logistics of it and being in public, I don't know. Like, I work from home and I'm home most of the time. But if I'm not, I think I would panic. I think I would like feel scared. So, I mean, I used tampons for years. And back in the day, I used like the Tampax Sport, like the scented ones. Okay.
Oh, I used those at one
point. Oh my gosh. That's insane that they make scented tampons. No, it's disgusting. Yeah.
Horrible.
So then I moved to organic cotton because, yes, tampons contain chlorine and bleach. Like, it's creepy. And then I recently started just using pads. It changed whatever discomfort and, like, pain I had, gone.
No way.
So I'm now convinced that, like, tampons also cause, which makes sense, irritation and inflammation and just, like, it feels weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a foreign object.
I've heard, you're not the first person I've heard say this, that it helps to lessen any sort of like cramping and that the flow also decreases.
Yep. It's weird.
So interesting. I haven't gone there yet.
So I switched to that and that's been,
to try it.
Yeah, that was like probably the biggest difference. Because for years, my periods are pretty easy.
Yeah.
And then I switched to, sometimes I retain, like, you can't control. Sometimes I'm somewhere where it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, it changed the game for me. I was like, oh, I had no idea how much even that was affecting me.
Yeah.
So
what
I'm
brand
a big
do you
fan.
Use?
I use Garnu.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Garnu. Yeah. I love everything they do.
I use their clothes.
So I have it on subscription and then it's just easy.
Yeah.
There's good brands like Nature Care.
Yeah.
Nature Care. That's probably the best brand that I found. And like Sprouts or Whole Foods.
I get those.
But now there's so many. But yeah, you just want to watch out for like titanium dioxide and a couple other things. And definitely buying organic and like things that are not bleached with chlorine. It's like, that's creepy. Chlorine in the body. Yeah.
Right.
I don't know. Things I never used to think of.
Never.
And now they're just in there.
Same with toilet paper. Never used to think of that. And
nope.
It's another thing to be aware of. Underwear. I know you've talked about this. Like, why should women be wearing organic underwear? Why is that important?
So our skin is our largest organ, like our dermal absorption, anything you put on your skin, lotion, stuff like that, sinks in to your bloodstream in 30 seconds, which is crazy. But even now, our bodies are absorbing materials. So most of the things we wear, and I'm not perfect, I have polyester, of course, a lot of my things are natural fibers, but your underwear and like even bras and camisoles, sports bras, leggings, so many
when
things.
We're sweating.
Especially when you're sweating, especially
pores
near like,
open.
Yes, exactly. And that's another thing that I was radicalized on. I didn't use to shower right away. Don't come after me after a workout. And then I was like, oh, you're sweating out all your toxins. And if you don't rinse them off, your body's just going to reabsorb them. So now I'm big on like rinsing right after, which I didn't, I used to be lazy about that.
I never did.
Until I had a naturopath explain that. And I was like, duh.
Yeah.
So now it's your largest organ and on the most sensitive parts of your body, maybe we don't want to put plastic and absorb polyester and dyes and things like that. So I love Pact. They sell organic underwear. There's so many good brands.
Yeah. I like Pact and Subset.
I've heard of Subset too, or even brands like Skims. They have complete cotton ones, not organic, but cotton.
Yeah.
So just
natural fibers. That's like the first step. Yeah. And then if you can get it organic, even better.
Yeah.
Emily, thank you so much for being here and making the trip out to the farm. It was so fun to finally meet you in real life. Where can people find you and continue to learn from you?
Yes. Thank you. This has been so fun. Seriously, this is so cute. The animals are just right here.
We were just talking. Just talking about how much I hate
them. They heard us. They heard us.
They're the worst animals.
They're here to taunt
you. But you've got the sheep. I think the sheep have been in the background a few times, and they're so cute.
Oh
they just got sheared. They're actually not that cute right
now. No, I saw that. So I'm on Instagram. Little Ray of Health is my Instagram handle. I have a podcast, the Little Ray of Health podcast. Those are the two places I spend the most time. Feel free to DM me. Come say hi. I still run my Instagram. It's just me reading my DMs and like interacting with everyone is my favorite part of this. Like I think social media can still be social. It can be daunting sometimes, but it truly is one of my favorite parts of my job. And so Instagram, Little Ray of Health is like my favorite place to be.
Thank you so much. I know this information is going to help so many people. I know it's helped me, just everything I've learned from you in the past. So thank you again.
You're welcome. Thank you.